is mine to understand, is mine to grasp. Father, thank you for understanding again. As we look into your word, our eyes see clearly, we understand the truth, and we're able to convince men of the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so on Monday, this is part four, Breaking Dividing Walls, the Religion of Peace, part four. So on Sunday, we did one and two, where we talked about the fact that deception starts and ends in the mind. So that no matter what the devil does, it does not have access to the spirit of a man, because that spirit is strictly for God. Nothing else can occupy it. And because the influence stops at the mind, it means that it can be changed. So that is not a permanent influence. That is the hope and the expectation with which we learn and teach. Also, we saw how the devil uses deception as his influence to keep men in captive. So we understood what deception was and the effects and the consequences of that. If you missed those teachings, please ensure you get it so you can follow through. Then on Monday, we started talking about the fact that who is a prophet? Because this religion believed that the divine being sends prophets with a divine message to men per time. And that these prophets have started from Adam down to the last prophet, who they believe is the one that has the last message for mankind. So, but at least they believe that God sends prophets with a message, right? So with that, we start explaining who is a prophet. Can I say I am a prophet simply because I saw a vision? Or can I say I'm a prophet simply because I saw an angel? Or can I say I'm a prophet because I had a dream? We saw that dreams, visions, and angelic visitations are ways by which the normal man, the natural man, can receive things. And yet on Monday, we saw that different persons saw angels, Hagar, and the shepherds of the field, the magi, the wise men, like that. A lot of even an ass, an animal, saw an angel, but it does not mean that they are prophets. So two ways we know a prophet. Number one, did he receive his message from God? Then two, what is that message? So the last time we focused on how did he get his message, and we saw that it can be through angelic visitation, it can be through a vision, it can be through dreams, but yet that is not an automatic authentication of his ministry. Okay, the second part we are going to examine today is how we also know who a prophet is majorly. So that's where we start from today. We will know a prophet by the message he carries. By the message that he carries. What is that message that he has? That is how we know a prophet. So even if he said he saw a dream or he saw a vision, we must first of all wait and check. What message did you receive? What message are you bringing? Okay, so the most important thing about prophets is that they have a message. And since we have recognized that from Adam, these ones were prophets, right? Men that had a message. So let us go and check around and see what message were these prophets carrying. What message were they carrying? Since prophets must have a message, the examples we already have in the scriptures, what message were these ones carrying? Are we ready to study? All right, let's see Genesis 3. Genesis chapter 3. It's 15. Genesis 3:15. Are we there? And I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Okay. This was after Adam sinned, right? So the next thing we see is I will put enmity between thee and the woman, talking about the serpent and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So that his heel is referring to who? The woman's seed, right? Are you following? The woman's seed, that you will bruise his heel. So we see a word introduced there, seed, thy seed, thy seed. That's the first time we saw that mentioned in the Bible. So let us go around and continue checking how this message, this same thy seed, came throughout to all the prophets. Genesis 12. Genesis chapter 12. Are we ready? Okay, verse 7. This is Abraham. Now, Abraham is a recognized prophet of this religion, and the scriptures give him that due and recognition. So, what message did Abraham receive? Okay, let's see. Genesis 12, verse 7. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. So which message did we see coming to Abraham again? A promise to his seed, right? Thy seed. All right, let's continue. Genesis 13. Let's flip to the next chapter. Genesis 13. From verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. So we see the same repetition here again, right? Thy seed, a promise being made to Abraham's seed. Genesis 15. Genesis chapter 15. Verse 5. This is God and Abraham again. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now towards heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Same thing to Abraham again. Thy seed. Thy seed, thy seed. That's in chapter 15. Let's see 18. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Thy seed. I mean, almost five times, right? Let's continue. Genesis 17. Genesis 17. Verse 7. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, or the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generation. Verse 10, this is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. So we see the same recurrence, right? Thy seed, thy seed. Let's continue. Genesis 21. Genesis 21. Are we there? Okay, so this was after Abraham had given birth to another child that has given birth to Isaac. Let's see verse 9. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be here with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman, in all that Sarah had said unto thee, hearken to her voice. For in Isaac shall thy seed be what? Be called. Alright, so we see another word, the same repetition. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. Does this mean that Isaac was the seed? Let's continue checking. Genesis 22. Genesis 22. So in the previous chapter, we saw that there were two sons, and God said that in Isaac, that is who your seed shall be called. But what does that mean? Genesis 22, 17. Okay, that in blessing, I will bless. Okay, let's start from 15. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, said the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Now, when we keep hearing, you see the pronouns and the words used, his, referring to a singular person, right? So he was not talking about a lot of persons. He kept saying, thy seed, speaking of somebody that is going to come. All right, so now we have seen, we traced it down, all the communication to Abraham. If it was if the seed was referring to Isaac, then that means this communication should stop with Abraham, right? So if thy seed meant Isaac, that means when Isaac comes, there should be no more mention of thy seed. But let's see how it continues. Genesis 26. Verse 1. And there was a famine in the land, beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. Now this is Isaac's story now. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed will I give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and I will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Now, did we see the same repetition? To Isaac again, we saw the same word being said, thy seed. I see the same message came to Isaac. All right, so that's in Genesis 26. Let's see verse 24. So Isaac again. And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and I will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. Okay, so now we saw the same message coming to Abraham, right? The same message to Abraham, thy seed, thy seed, thy seed. And then we go to Isaac and we saw the same message coming to Isaac again. Thy seed, thy seed, thy seed. Now, Isaac had how many children? 2 children. Okay? So he had Jacob and he had Esau. Now, let's continue and be tracing the messages as it came along. Genesis 28. This is now focusing on Jacob. Genesis 28. From verse 3. And God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee, and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. So we see the same communication pattern to Jacob, thy seed, thy seed. Okay, that's in chapter 28, see 13. This was Jacob now that had a vision. We read this on Monday, how he slept. He had a vision of the night and slept and saw, and he dreamed, verse 12, and he dreamed, and behold, the ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, don't forget, no matter the vision, dream you see, there must be what? A message. So the message that we are tracing. Verse 13, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Same message came to Jacob. Thy seed, a blessing is going to come from your seed. Your seed will have an inheritance. Your seed will be a blessing to the entire world. All right, let's continue. Genesis 32. Genesis 32. Verse 12. Now, this was Jacob recounting what God has said. And thou said, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sound of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. So this is Jacob saying what God has told him, that his seed will multiply. His seed will be innumerable to count. What is that seed? What does it mean? Genesis 35. Let's keep tracing it. Genesis 35, verse 12. Don't forget, we are analyzing the message. A prophet must have a message. Genesis 35 now, verse 12. And the land which I gave, okay, verse 11. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty, be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. Thy seed, the promise to thy seed. Genesis 48. Are we there? From verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, Behold, thy father is sick. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And one told Jacob and said, Behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee. And Israel strengthened himself and sat upon the bed. And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me, and said unto me, Behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. Now, Jacob started recounting again what God told him, the message he has received, that his seed will have an everlasting possession. What did that mean? So we have traced it from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob. And we saw that the same message came to each one of them. If the seed was Isaac, then there should no longer come to message to Isaac again saying, in your seed. But it wasn't Isaac, neither was it Jacob. Because the message kept coming to each of them saying, thy seed. That means it was referring to someone who will come after them. Okay, so Moses was another recognized prophet that the scriptures give credence to. So let's see what Moses said. Exodus. Exodus chapter 32. Verse 13. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thy own self, and said unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. Now, this Exodus 32:13. This was Moses recounting again the promise that he knows God has said. The same message, right? That their seed, the seed of Abraham, the seed of Isaac, the seed of Jacob, will have a possession. So, because of that, they cannot be utterly wiped out because their seed, a seed is coming. All right, so let's continue. 33, verse 1, the same Exodus. And the Lord said unto Moses, Depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, and the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, Unto thy seed will I give it. Okay, let's continue. Deuteronomy. Same message was in the mouth of Moses. Moses knew this. He recounted it. Deuteronomy. Verse 34. Same message recounted again. And the Lord said to him, This is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thy eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. Okay, so the same message recounted again. That thy seed, the seed of these people, will have an eternal possession. Okay, let's continue. If this was the land, would it end there? Because now I say, if it was Canaan, it was saying, see, this is the land, right? So if it was Canaan and these people had already entered, would the message come again? That unto your seed will I give something? No. All right, let's keep tracing. Second Samuel. 2 Samuel 7, verse 12. Now, this is now David. He's talking about, we have traced it down to David. Same message to David. 2 Samuel 7, 12. And when thy days be fulfilled, talking to David, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom for what? Forever. Okay. Now, when he says thy seed or thy sons, he wasn't talking about his immediate child. He's saying it will be from your lineage. But that word sons there, he's talking about your generation, your descendants. It is someone will come from your descendants who will have an everlasting kingdom. Someone will come from your descendants, from your generation, not your immediate children, who will be king, and his kingdom will be forever. That kingdom will have my backing, and that kingdom will be forever. So the same message, we saw it going down to David. Same thing was repeated in 1 Chronicles 17:11. That was another account of the same thing. Another account of the same thing. Okay, now let's continue. Let's see Psalm 89. Psalm 89. This is David's own scriptures or David's own book of prophecies. What was he saying? Psalm 89. Verse 1. Are we there? I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shall thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. Same thing. Same thing. Same thing. Verse 19. Then thou speakest in vision to thy holy one and said, remember how we said prophets receive, right? So, and said, it's not just enough that you must have a vision, you must have a message. What are you saying? Now, this is the message. I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. With whom my hand shall be established, my arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. For I will beat down his foes before his face, and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him. In my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, thou art my father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. And also I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forever, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. Same words coming, that the throne of your seed, I will establish that throne forever. Forever. That was the promise he had. Psalm, the same Psalm, 132. Several messages, several prophecies, all saying the same thing. That a seed is coming. A seed is coming. Psalm 132, verse 11. Are we there? Joshua, open your Bible. Psalm 132, 11. Okay. The Lord hath sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. Now, of the fruit of thy body. Another way to say of the seed, right? Of your seed. So of someone that will come from your loins, someone that will come from your generations, I will give him a throne and establish that throne forever. That was the message to David. Now let's see Jeremiah. There are a lot of prophecies. Well, in the next part, we will expand more and do a more detailed analysis of what the prophet said. But today, we're just doing a brief recap to show that all prophets have a message. To be recognized as a prophet, you must have a message from God. Jeremiah 23, verse 5. Jeremiah 23, 5. We there? Okay. Behold, the days come, said the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Now, this was how many years after David? A lot of years, hundreds of years. And another prophecy is still coming. Is it different from what they've been receiving? Is it different from what Abraham had? No. So, this is to show us that from Abraham down to David, and even after David, the prophets received the same message. They were all talking about the same thing. A seed is coming. That seed will be the custodian of blessings. He will be able to bless men. He will be the one with all inheritance. In this seed, that is when blessing will reside, and he will have a throne forever. Forever. Same thing. Same thing. So prophets are God's spokesmen. Once you hear prophets, of course, they are God's spokesmen. That's why we say God at sundry time in diverse manners spoke to the prophet when that was rephrased. When you can take away God from the equation there, because once you hear prophets, automatically what should come to your mind? Someone who receives from God, right? That's why God can be removed from that equation. So that almost sounds like mythology. Alright, so prophets are God's spokesmen. They carry a divine message. Even this religion believes that. They carry a divine message. And we have seen from the foundational fathers, from Adam to Abraham, to Isaac, to Moses, to David, to Jeremiah, to all the prophets, that is the same message they were talking about. That shows that God has only one message. One message. This was consistent throughout, speaking of someone to come. Now, let's see how other prophets also said the same thing. Isaiah. Let's show other proof that prophets had the same message. Isaiah. Different prophets, different ages, different dispensation. One God, one message. Isaiah 42, verse 1. We have seen David, we have seen a little bit of Jeremiah. So let's see Isaiah now, 42 from verse 1. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my elect, in whom my soul delighted. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he hath set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. This is Isaiah 42, verse 1 to 4. Isaiah 42, verse 1 to 4. Okay, let's continue reading from verse 5. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth, and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walketh therein. I am the Lord. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and I will hold thy hand, and I will keep thee. And I will give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light to the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Now we are going to see how other prophets started expanding on this same message, describing this seed that was to come. This seed that is coming, this is who it will be. This is what it will do. Okay? Consistently. Now, it was referred here to as the servant. That this will be my servant. He will uphold men. He will open blind eyes. He will set captives free. That means the person that was to come must fit all these characteristics. If he doesn't, then it cannot be the one that the prophecy was speaking about. No. So prophets start explaining this seed that is to come. Who is he? This was obviously someone to come. Isaiah. Isaiah 49:6. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou may be my salvation unto the ends of the earth. So saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, to whom man despised, to him whom the nation abhorred, to a servant of rulers. Kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of the Lord that is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. This is also describing the same person coming. That this person will be a light to the Gentiles. That he will be a king that is above every king. That people will worship him. Right? Okay. Alright. And the Bible now says that he will be, God is saying that this person that is coming will be my salvation. Is that clear? Same prophet saying that. Alright. Let's see. Isaiah 52:13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so mad, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouth at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they have not heard shall they consider. This is also describing the person that is coming. He did not stop there. Chapter 53 from verse 1. Who had believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. So this is talking about the person, right? Person. Verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. That means this person that is coming is going to pass through all these things. And when we say we hid, as it were, our faces from him, that means we are going to reject him. But it's not somebody that we are all going to accept. We are going to deny this one. Alright, verse 4. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So this person that is coming is going to bear our sin. This person that is coming is going to bear our transgressions. This person that is coming, he will be punished for our problems. That is the kind of person that is coming. That is what this person will do. So, the person we are waiting for must do all these things. Otherwise, he is not the one that the scripture is speaking about. Okay, verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. So we see, who is this person talking coming about? When we read these prophecies, we should ask, who are they talking about? Who is this seed? This is what the seed will do. The seed will bear people's sin. It will bear their iniquities. It will give men peace. who is this person? So prophecies were consistent. They did not just say, thy seed is coming. No, they described that seed. That seed was described. What the seed will do was said. What will we get as a result of what the person will do was said. So everything is inside prophecy. No, nothing is vague. So when the person comes, we can check in these same prophecies. Did this person fulfill all this? If he did not, then we should reject it. Otherwise, we don't want. The person coming must fit this description that the prophets have given. Let's see Isaiah 62. See three more, and then we can go. Isaiah 62. Verse 11. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Okay, so this person that is coming, this seed, was referred to as what? Their salvation. Say, somebody is coming, who will be your salvation? This is the description of the person that is going to come. Jeremiah 30. Jeremiah chapter 30. Jeremiah 30. Verse 9. Okay, well, let's read from verse 8. For it shall come to pass in that day, said the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and I will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him, but they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. So is this talking about physical David? This could not be referring to the physical David, because at this point in time, David was dead. But don't forget how it was said, even from David, that of somebody from your body, right? Of your seed, of your loins. So this is linking this person to David. That this person that is coming, we can trace him to the lineage of David. If this person that is coming, we cannot trace his ancestry, his genealogy to David, to Abraham, then it cannot be the one that the prophets have been talking about. Okay, so prophets have a specific message. Let's see the same thing. This same thing be repeated in Ezekiel. Ezekiel as confirmation to show that it is not just one person seeing what he likes. No, it was a consistent, steadfast message throughout. Ezekiel 34, verse 23. Ezekiel 34, verse 23. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. Even my servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will make with them a covenant of peace, and I will cause the evil beast to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. So, when he calls him David, it means he's still reiterating the fact that this person will trace him to who? David. This person is linked to the household of David, because that is the same message that was said, of thy seed out of thy body will come out one whose kingdom I shall establish forever. All right, let's see Daniel. Let's see the last one, Daniel. There are a lot. We'll do this another time to check other prophecies. But let's see Daniel 7. One consistent message. Daniel 7:13. Daniel is another recognized prophet. What was his message? Daniel 7:13. I saw in the ninth visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days. And they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Is this clear? So, you see, from Adam, he shall bruise your head. From Abraham, your seed will inherit the earth. Your seed will possess the gates of their enemies. Down to Isaac, down to Jacob, down to David. your seed will have an everlasting kingdom. This one now is saying it clearly, that that seed, he will be given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. So this king's kingdom will not have any restriction. It will span, so long as any, all over the world, that is what the scripture says concerning this world, and his dominion will be everlasting, it shall not pass away. So this is what we expect from the person that is coming. The same message has been going around, same message. Okay, so let's note this down and tie everything together. So we see that there's one consistent message through all the prophets. One message, one. A seed is coming. And you will trace, so I want to summarize all the message now in one. A seed is coming. You will trace this person, the man, the person, you will trace this person to David and Abraham's lineage. You will trace it, you must trace it physically. The man is coming. You will trace it to David and Abraham. And this person will have the backing of God. This person that is coming is God's man. He will have the backing of God. God is behind this one. Because it is God that has established this one. This person will suffer. He will pass through different sufferings on earth. But he will have an everlasting kingdom at the end of the day. An everlasting kingdom. So that is the same thing. This message was what all the prophets were carrying. All the prophets. A man is coming. A seed is coming from the loins of Abraham and David. And this one shall have an everlasting kingdom. This one will have the backing of God. And this one, even though he suffers, yet what he will get will be everlasting. His dominion will be over all men, over all nations, over all languages, over all peoples. That was what was being said. So, you cannot call someone a prophet who says something different. If a person says something different from this consistent message, then you cannot call that person a prophet. Even though the person sees visions, even if he sees angels, we must ask him, what message did you get from the divine one? And you can use other prophets that have gone ahead to check if your message is correct. Because every prophet cannot be saying one thing, and then suddenly you will have a different message. God cannot be saying one thing from Adam to all the prophets and then give one man a separate message. No. It is not possible. Because a prophet is one who receives a divine message from God. And the message must speak of that divine will. So, I am called a prophet because either through dreams or through vision or through an angelic visitation, I receive a message from God. And that message must speak of the divine will, because God has one divine will. This is consistent from Genesis to Malachi. This divine will, these ways of prophets receiving things and their message is consistent from Genesis to Malachi. We have over 20 documented prophets. Over 20. Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Malachi, Hosea. Plenty. David, Adam, Noah. All of them. And we have over 1,000 prophecies from these prophets. Over 20 documented prophets. Over 1,000 documented prophecies. Speaking of the same thing. Same thing. All saying the same thing consistently. So one man cannot bring something different to nullify everything that everybody has been saying. Is that clear? One man cannot bring something different. So when you call somebody a prophet of God, a messenger of God, it's not a title. It's not a mere title that, hey, this person is God's prophet or this person is God's messenger. No, you don't just give such titles to people you must first of all ask, how did he get his message and what is he saying? So we have tests to know who a prophet is. It's not a mere title. So you ask, who spoke to him? Was it God? It was an angel. Was that angel sent from God? Because just that an angel spoke to you is not a proof. No, you must carry the same message. Why? Because the message is bigger than any single man. You write it like that. The message. That message that the prophets have been carrying is bigger than any single man. One man is not bigger than that message. Imagine how many prophets, how many prophecies speaking of the same thing. It is more than a man. So nobody can override that. Nobody can override that. The message is the proof of a prophet. The message is the proof of a prophet. Not visions, not angels, and not character. We explain this and stop here. Not character. Because you can say that this prophet had a good character. Everybody knew him that he has a good character. But hey, the character of a man is not how we know who a prophet is. It is his message. Because we cannot approve a prophet and say you are a prophet simply because your character is good. We have plenty of persons that have good characters, but if they don't have a message from the divine being, they don't have a divine message, then that person is not a prophet. Why? Because even the prophets we have in the scriptures, the documented and approved prophets we have in the scriptures, were not always perfect in character. We'll see like three examples why we cannot use, you have a good character to back up your ministry. No. You are a prophet because you have a message which must be consistent with the same message that God has been given. So we have, even the prophets of old had, some of them had issues with their character once in a while. Let's see Genesis 9. Let's see some examples, then we'll close here. Genesis 9:20. And Noah began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. Noah is a recognized prophet. That this religion says, yes, this person was a prophet. But let's see Noah. And he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. So what happened to this man? Was he a prophet? Yes. But what happened one day? He planted vines, made wine, and overdrank and became drunken to the point where he lost consciousness and he became naked. And his children, one of them started mocking him. Is that an example of a perfect character? No. But does it mean that he's not a prophet, or that it means if he has said something concerning the message, we should disregard it? No. So the fact that somebody has a deficiency in character at one point in time does not mean he's not a prophet. Let's see Moses. The big emoji, big prophet Moses. Let's see Numbers. Numbers chapter 20. Were all the prophets that were in the scriptures, were they all of exemplary, perfect characters? No. Numbers 20, from verse 2. And there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. Okay. And then they were grumbling and grumbling and grumbling. And verse 7, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rock from before the Lord as commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, yea, ye now, ye rebel, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because you believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. So what deficiency in character did Moses exhibit? Anger. Moses was angry to the point that he negated an instruction that he received. Yet, even though he suffered for it, but it did not nullify the message that he has. It doesn't mean that Moses is no longer a recognized prophet of God. Let us see David, the big prophet David that wrote plenty psalms. David, 2 Samuel 11. Okay, verse 1, 2 Samuel 11, verse 1. And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon, and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an eventide, that David arose from off his bed, and he walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her. And she came in unto him, and he lay with her, but she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And then, of course, you know the story. And the woman conceived, and David sent message to bring the husband back from the battlefield. He wanted to force the pregnancy on the husband. The husband said no. He wants to go and fight war. So what was the end result? David told Uriah, told Joab, put him at the hottest point of the battle so that he can die. Withdraw him, let him die. All so that David could what? Marry the woman. So what was David's offense? Adultery, lust, adultery, murder, murder by omission, commission. Was serious, and then taking another man's wife after he has already killed the man. Conventions, plenty things there in one person's character. But did this stop him from being a prophet? No, David had the wish. So you cannot tell us that, hey, this man was good. This person had a good character. Everybody knew that he had a good character. So because of that, we must accept him as God's prophet. That is not a proof that a man is a prophet. Because the scripture shows us otherwise, that God can speak through unworthy men. God can speak through imperfect men, especially the men without the Spirit of God. That these men, God could still use them even when they were bad. That's how God shows his mercy. Aha. So, we don't accept a person just because he had good character. That is not the reason. That is not the proof that you're a prophet. Rather, the major proof is that message you are carrying, that message must be consistent. The message you have received from God is the determining factor. The determining factor. And because we have the scriptures, we know that it is one message of one will of God that the scripture recognizes. So every prophet must say the same thing. Otherwise, you are not a prophet. So, we agree that God has messengers, that God has prophets through which he speaks to men. But we have seen also that those prophets must say a consistent thing. Their message must show that, hey, what I'm carrying is God that sent me. Otherwise, people can just come and say anyhow. They'll just come, I saw a dream, and then I say something. I saw a vision, I say something. If there is nothing to use to check it, are we going to accept everything everybody says? No. So in God's wisdom, he gave us a documentation and proof of how to know that somebody is a prophet, somebody is saying a message from him. That message must be in line with that his divine will of which he has been speaking consistently throughout all the scriptures. Okay? So we have several prophets documented, over 20, speaking over 1,000 prophecies, saying the same thing. One person cannot overrule that. except you are just wanting to blind yourself to reality. But no, it cannot be. Okay? Your character is not proof. Angelic visitation is not proof. Those things are not proof. Your message is what we check out to know and accept you as a prophet of God. Is that clear? Okay, so the next time we'll continue, we'll look at the scriptures. Because this religion also believes that our scriptures has been distorted to accept our beliefs. That men distorted the scriptures. We're going to see. And they also believe that scriptures or the message is given like this by an angel. As in, a man does not have, as it comes direct from the source. So we'll see how all these prophets got their prophecies, and if it was an angelic dropping or it was something that they received and documented by themselves, and how proof-worthy are those things they have said. So we'll continue. It's a long ride. So be patient to the end. I'm sure you don't miss any part. Be patient. Even if you hear something that you don't agree with, before you get to the end, it will be clarified. So don't stop halfway until you get to the end of Revelation. Are we clear? All right, let's just bow our head and pray. Let us pray that as we have received understanding, even in these things, this same understanding is better to the men that who will teach this truth to. The purpose is not to display knowledge. The purpose is that men will see proof. Remember, we talked about conviction, evidence, that we are giving men evidence from the scripture of what the scripture really talks about. This is the end result. The labor is over, and now I am free. I know the truth.